We're so excited that everyone is here today. We kind of start again in the fall. And that's a normal season of life. We wanted to consider, we're doing this series called Bless. We'll start it officially next week, but we can have it, we see it up there. And so B-L-E-S-S, what's the B? Begin with prayer, listen with care, eat together, serve a friend. Oh, okay, it's a little different. Share your story. All right, but anyways, we got it. Begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, and share your story. Good. Now, today we wanted to consider ministries of the church, ministry that builds the church. And the church is often described in the New Testament as a body, the body of Christ. And God wants a healthy body. He wants a mature body. He wants a grown-up body. So how many of you like a healthy body? You remember having a healthy body, or you wish you had a healthy body. Well, what is a healthy body? A healthy body is one in which all the parts support the whole, and the whole supports each part. And notice that it's not good if it's a part. Right? Pieces, parts don't make a body. It needs to be together. So all that stuff has to go back in there. But we want a healthy body. And so that means each part has to grow big and strong and has to do the function that it was that God designed it to do. And also it needs to be free from disease. A healthy body has to be able to fight off infections. And sometimes those infections come from the outside and sometimes they come from the inside, and it has to be able to recover from injuries. Anybody know what those things are, those pictures are? I think they're white and red blood cells. Is that right? Okay, good. I passed that test. All right. Let's read from the scriptures, six verses out of Ephesians 4. I'll read the italics and you read the non-italics. And I'll repeat them so it goes on to the recording. Ephesians 4. Verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up. Verse 13, until we all reach the unity of the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, it mentioned that there will be false teaching, and we have to protect against that, and that God has given leaders to the church, these apostles, these prophets, these evangelists, these pastor teachers, to teach properly. And so we need a healthy diet, a diet of the Word of God. But you don't just need a diet to be healthy. What else do you need to do? You need to exercise. What if all you do is eat? That's not good, right? What if you only eat one day a week? So we need spiritual input. It can't be just one day a week. We get that when we're together, but we also have to feed ourselves when we're apart. But we also have to exercise. And so what's the ministry that builds up the church? It's one where the people, the leaders are equipping the people, they're preparing the people, they're training the people, and the people do the work of service. Then the body of Christ is built up. Because what did we say? We said Each part has to do its part. Each part has to grow healthy and strong and do its part and do what God designed it to do. Now, next one. Okay. No, I'm sorry. Go. What am I doing? I'm going the wrong way. There we go. Now, what we want to do right now is we want to have a focus on some of the ministries. We're going to have an interview with our special interviewer, Kim Carlson. And he's going to talk to some people of some ministries going on here at the church.
Hold your applause.
Sorry. Right on. Ah, it's working now. All right. Who should I pick? Actually, these have been pre-selected people. The first one will be like unto me, the right altitude. Sam, would you come forward, please, and subject yourself? Now, these are going to be easy questions. We're going to talk about some body parts now. I think he's got a pretty complete set of body parts. But the body part that we're going to be talking about at the moment is what's loosely referred to as the men's ministry. Does it have an official title? It used to be called also Band of Brothers from occasionally.
Other people named it, but we just call it men's ministries.
Men's ministry. Men's group, men's ministries. Yeah, it's a functional description. There's all guys there, so. Is it true? Oh, we got an extra mic for you.
Yes.
Are you alive?
Yep.
All right. Very good. It's always wonderful when a body part is alive. Is it true that you are one of the founding members of this group?
Yes.
When was that, roughly?
About 7-8 years ago.
7-8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And how frequently does the group meet?
We meet once a week. And we have met without fail.
Without fail.
Yep.
That means it's
We've
been Monday
week.
Nights.
No. It started on Thursday nights, and then we went to different nights because of the guys' schedules. And then we hit on Monday night. That seems to have worked out the best for us. So. Yeah, we try to accommodate ourselves to the guys, to the men, but we've met without fail.
Sometimes it meets off-site,
different
locales.
Yes, we have met a few times off-site. Yep, that's correct. But we always get together.
So this group has met consistently, I think, more consistently, continuously, than practically any other group in the church right now.
I would say we probably have met
other
more.
Other than Sunday morning worship, of course, but and probably Sunday school, but as a small group, it's one of the ones.
Yep.
Such commitment doesn't happen on a whim. I mean, it exemplifies the word commitment.
Yeah.
What is it about the group that has caused it to be so consistent and committed?
Well, I think we really enjoy getting together. We do enjoy each other's company, and we also believe in what we are doing. We're just a group of guys. We consider ourselves to be friends, and we want to help each other in our personal relationship with Christ. I think that's the most important thing. And also, one thing that we strive to do is that we want to make sure that each one of us, if for whatever reason we're no longer to be here, wherever we might find ourselves, we would have this desire to want to start up another men's group for the purpose of discipling each other and having a friendship, a relationship, and then and growing closer to Christ by growing closer with each other. So, and also we want to provide a safe environment where guys can talk with each other. Let one of us or the group know of any personal struggles so that we can pray for each other. That's another thing. Another thing that we've been doing is that once a month we gather together just to pray, you know, and we've gone about that in different ways, and that's also for us to each one of us learn to recognize that prayer. If we want to call ourselves disciples of Christ, that prayer needs to be a vital part of our living. It's how we communicate with Him and how we learn to hear from Him, mm-hmm. And it's we're commanded to pray. So.
Very good. How many people here? How many men here have attended the group before?
Yeah.
All right. Look around.
Yeah.
Everybody else. So, I'm going to ask the congregation, the attendees, but the other guys that have gone to the group, is it working? Yes. Raise your hand if it's working. If you're interested in learning more about the group, and just having a discussion, or if you're interested in maybe joining with the group, I've given Sam some contact information cards. So just see Sam after the service, and he'll be happy to give you a card, and you can call.
Yep. You know, that is an important question. Is it working? And we don't judge our success by numbers.
That's true.
Yeah, we judge our success by how we see the men within the group changing. How they are changing in their relationship with Christ and their willingness to talk about that and to want to share Him with others. We were talking about discipleship, and as men of our group, we've come to the conclusion that discipleship just is. It should be a natural product of who you are, if we are in Him. If
so, Sam, now you know why I asked them if it's working, yeah, instead of asking you if it was working.
Why?
Because it's working in their lives.
Yeah.
So, right. Is it working in your life, in the men's group? For me, it is.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sam. I have to talk to another member of the body now. So sit down. Time's up. Thanks. Debbie Davis, would you join me? Another member of our body is the ESL classes, and also known as the Outreach Ministries. So, Deb, how did you first hear about Dearborn Covenant Church?
Well, we just lived down the street, and we were looking for a church close, and this was the closest one.
So
we
wandered in.
Yeah.
Wandered in.
We could walk here, so we did.
So the ESL ministry started up. How was that initiated?
We were working in other ministries in the city of Dearborn, and the pastor here, Pastor Johnny, asked us, would we help him start something? And the reason he wanted to start something is because when you all had a garage sale 10 years ago, there were people who came with two suitcases, I think, or one full of cash, and wanted to buy the building, not the old clothes and the old bikes. And you all had to think about, well, should we sell the building? Do we want to sell the building? Why don't we want to sell the building? And you decided, this was before we came, you decided, we want to stay here. We're not closing up shop. And Pastor Johnny and all of you began to pray, and you said, we're not going to leave and have this become a mosque or some other building. We're going to stay here and invite the people in. Mm-hmm. We want our building to be filled with Muslims, Johnny said, and we want them to know Jesus like we do.
And you mentioned the Muslims, mm-hmm. And was that the original target for the outreach ministry?
I wouldn't use the word target. I would say that was the people who happen to be our neighbors were Muslims. And they are people who in their own countries don't have a chance to hear because they believe that they're not allowed to change and that no one ever would leave Islam. And so it's a new thing for them to consider. So we wanted to invite them in.
But I think since that time, we've discovered that far more people groups have joined this ministry or taken advantage of this ministry. Can you name a few?
Yeah. God always has bigger plans than we do. I could name Chinese people and Russian people and Japanese people and Vietnamese people and Guatemalan and Mexican and Sudanese and Tunisian and Moroccan, and it goes on and on. Iranian people. Yeah. Romanians. Yes.
And the doors for this ministry are open now at least 4 days a week. Is that right?
3 mornings and 2 evenings.
So 5, mm-hmm. if you include the morning and evening sessions.
I don't want anyone to make the mistake of thinking this is the only ministry in the church. It is certainly not. And it is not the most important ministry in the church. It just happens to be the easiest ministry in the church. I am serious, because God is bringing people here who have a secret agenda. People who always wanted to know God in their own country mm-hmm. come here, and they think, maybe I can go to a church here. And so we give them the excuse. Come here and learn English. And they say, aha, there's my excuse. And they come here because some of them just want to know God. And that's what it says in Acts 7. God moves people throughout the world, the times and places he determined so that they might seek him and find him. So this is the easiest ministry. You see your neighbors driving, and all of your American neighbors are so busy, headed off to work, headed off to this and that, and they don't even know they have any needs. But our international friends come, and they say, we need friends. We need peace. We need happiness. We need forgiveness. So this is the easiest one.
And I see that you're holding the book that we teach from.
Yes. This is one of the books we teach from. So. Each class, not every day, uses the Bible, but many times in different classes each day.
Not every ESL opportunity that's available in the community is able to teach from the Bible if they're accepting government funds, for example. Mm-hmm. So thank you
very
much.
Or if they live in too small of a box.
Yeah, that's true. So Deb, thank you very much. And she has cards also.
Yes, cards. If you want to call me, where do I put these?
Yeah, just hang on to them, because they'll come and see you and if you need more. We're always happy to get volunteers for teaching.
Come and watch if you want.
It doesn't require knowledge of a foreign language to be able to teach English. You all know English, yes? Okay, congratulations. Jeff?
Well, thank you, Kim, and thank you, Sam and Deb. So God has given to the church leaders who teach the Word of God and model the Word of God, were to learn it. But if you just get ideas in your head, anybody ever have this happen where an idea goes in your ear and maybe out again? There's an important lesson that most of us have learned the hard way. When you learn something, what do you got to do? You have to use it, and when you stop using it, eventually you lose it. We know people who've even forgotten their original language here in America because they haven't used it in so long. You use it or you lose it. God wants us to learn his word, his truth, but then he wants us to live it out. And that's how other people see it, and also that's how it becomes real to us. So the body of Christ... the body parts are unusual because they are persons. Another image that God uses, he says, this is a house made of stones, but the stones are living stones. No, these aren't pictures of you guys. That would have been clever, but I didn't do that. I got this off the internet. Sorry. So the body of Christ is made of persons. And what keeps the body connected? Paul tells us here that it's love. What unites us is love. But love doesn't just unite. Love serves. As we serve one another and build up one another, everyone has something to do. Not everybody has the same ministry, just like all the members in the body don't have the same function. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, is the whole body an eye? Where would the hearing be? Is the whole body a hand? Like, can the hand say to the foot, you're not a hand, you're not worth anything? Well, then, how would you get any place? Yes, we have different parts of the body. And then he said, there's even the parts that you don't see that are hidden. They're shy. And they don't get our attention until something goes wrong. And then they really have our attention. And so there are parts of the body who serve, and you don't see them, but when they're not serving, we really miss them, right? And so everybody has a function in the body. Now, did you have something like this in your bulletin? What does it say? We are blessed to be a blessing to others. And if you look, there's different opportunities to serve. Some of you are already serving in these ways, and some maybe in some new ways. And one of the ways that you find out what your gift is you try them. Usually you try the ones that are open or that need help, and maybe you find out, boy, I really fit into here. Or maybe I don't. I'm just going to do the children until there's someone who's better can come along and do it. But you find out, and sometimes people will say, you know, when you did that, it was so good. You really ministered to me when you did that particular thing. So it can be anything. And here's a list of things. And so look at these and consider how you can help. And there may be something that we don't have, but it's a burden on your heart. You can actually come to us and say, I think God wants me to start this ministry, and we will try to help you do that. God wants us to serve. In Ephesians 2:10, he says, 2:8 and 9, it's not by our works that we're saved, not by works of righteousness, but it's by his mercy that he saved us. But God has prepared us to do works. It's not works in order to be saved, it's works because we are saved. And he says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has what? Prepared in advance for us to do. God has a destiny for you, and it's a good destiny. And he wants you to find out what that is and fulfill it. Part of that will be serving in the church. Now, all of you have had parents, and some of you are parents, and some are parents of young children even now. Some are grandparents, so you get the fun of having little children around, then you can send them back. It's nice. But you know that as parents, you have to provide and you have to protect them. You have to give them food and shelter and clothing. But we're not raising sheep, right? We're not raising cows where they just eat and eat and eat. They have more jobs than just getting big. They also have to be prepared for adulthood where they can live on their own, where they can be self-reliable and independent from you. And so that means they have to grow up, not just grow big, but they actually have to grow up. They have to mature. And this takes preparation. And that's a lot of work, right? Now, it's natural for children to want to imitate their parents, right? And so one of the things they want to do when they're little is they want to have a tool just like you. They want to have a little shovel. They want to have a little rake. They want to have a little broom or maybe a vacuum or even a power mower. Maybe they want a razor. I remember as a five-year-old, I wanted to shave like my dad, and I didn't have any beard, so I shaved off my eyebrow. Only half of it. It grew back. It was okay. But children, yes, they want to copy what they see. And God has given leaders to the church so that the newer believers will follow their example also and train them up. Because he says he's given leaders to train or prepare the members of the body to serve. And it's when the body serves, this is a ministry that builds up the body of Christ. So it is, as we said already, one in which all the parts support the whole and the whole supports the parts. And as he said in verse 13, we'll reach the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, then we'll become mature, we'll attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God doesn't want a bunch of churches that are just babies. Babies are great when they're babies. Huh. And so an eight-month-old that acts like an eight-month-old is cool. But an eight-year-old that acts like an eight-month-old, there's something wrong, either physically, mentally, or emotionally. And he certainly doesn't want a 50-year-old or a 60-year-old acting like that. He wants us to grow up. We also have to fight off infections. And one of the ideas of an infection is something that's being attacked from the inside or the outside, like a disease. There's false teaching. Does false teaching abound? Yes. Where can you see it or hear it? The TV, the radio, and in many churches even, and other religious places that teach false ideas about God, about man, about what it means to be alive and how we're supposed to get to know God. And so we have to learn what is truth and what is error, and that's why he's given leaders to the body, so that we will know these things, we'll protect ourselves against error, and that we will be safe. He says, we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown about by winds. And some winds can be pretty strong, right? We just had a small hurricane outside of Texas, now a big hurricane coming down in Florida. And I think, isn't there another one behind it, they said? Okay. But winds can blow you around. And here he's saying false teaching can do the same thing, make people unstable, not sure which way to go, being blown about by the wind. And he said, and there are people who do this on purpose. They're deceitfully cunning. And God has given leaders to the church so that people will learn the truth, be able to stand against false teaching. It's kind of like what they teach children in school. Ever hear of stranger danger? And so we have to know what deception is so that we can protect against it. And deception is aimed at the immature. Spiritual deception is aimed at the immature Christian. How do we prevent this? We learn the scriptures. We learn what they say. And then we don't just have it collected in our, we're not just collecting information. He wants us to learn it and live it. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. We have small group Bible studies that help learn and apply things. Sam talked about what the men have done, and we know that women have things. And so we're going to have another interview. We're going to talk about some of the ministries that are going on now, some of the newer ministries. Oh, there's your mic.
One of the ones we're going to talk about is a ministry that's existed for a long time because it's focused at the youth. But we have new leadership in the team, and they're doing some new things. This is Phoebe. You all know Phoebe Lamers? Yay!
Hi.
And John? So Phoebe and John recently took over, not too long ago. Is there a way that you can summarize what youth ministry really means?
Well,
something easy first.
For us, basically, our goal is to help grow and develop devoted followers of Christ. But we're specifically working with sixth grade through seniors in high school. And so it's the desire to see them really grow and own their faith and love the Lord and live for Him.
Wow, that sounds like a regular mission statement. That's really well encapsulated, so thank you very much. Do you meet more than just, like, do you meet Sundays? When do you get together?
Well, we have the Sunday school hour, and then we get together Sunday nights, and then the kids sometimes come over to our house, and we get together one-on-one with some. and have other times. But Sunday nights is our regular time.
Regular night. Okay. And you've done some new things, just especially throughout the summer. I think you've taken a little different tack. So can you describe those for the people?
Well, this summer, since kids are here and there and going to camps and stuff, we did a lot of like after church picnics and barbecues at our house. But then we recently joined together with some other churches in the area and doing some joint trips. So just a couple weeks ago, we went to the Lake Erie Metro Park with them, and we've done other game days with them. But trying to connect the kids and really build a Christian community and introduce them to what it means to live within the body also.
That is super duper. What has created the most positive reaction so far amongst the students?
Yeah, they love fun stuff and snack time. Of course, they're teenagers. But I think really it's been challenging them and like treating them more like adults and actually like expecting things from them. So times that we've given, like, I've worked with the girls specifically, but like giving them opportunities to serve the church or to help lead something and get involved and to give back has been really cool, but even challenging them in their understanding of things and how they think and what they believe and why, but having them really own it and explore what it is and why.
So did you have any extemporaneous additional comment that you wanted to add?
I'm trying to think. No, I understood. Yeah. Do you?
Yeah. This is the first time that we've had, you know, a couple in quite a while, you know, that are leading the youth group. And I believe from an outside observer standpoint, I don't have a teenager anymore. So we don't have anybody directly involved in the group. But just from an outside observer, I would say that's been positive. We've had that in the quite a few years past, and it's been very promising and helpful.
Well, I will add then that we're always looking for like leaders and people to help out. And even like there are so many different ways to like invest in the students beyond being like a normal every Sunday night leader. You can always do that. But there are lots of ways to get involved and to get to know the students and invest in their lives. And it's very meaningful for them. I can think back to people that chose to invest in me when I was that age. And it was just so powerful. And so just be thinking about them and praying for them, and then reach out to John and I if you want to do something with them or for them, because there are just so many ways to help invest in these young people as they're becoming devoted followers of Christ.
Awesome. Similar fashion, she has a little... Okay. She has a card, so if you need to get a hold of them, you don't have to write a phone number down. Grab a card. And she'll be happy to talk to you about it more. So thank you very much, Phoebe. We have another person. Now, we have another person that I would like to call up. Nicole, if you would join me. Both of you. Or one and a half, let's say. We asked Nicole especially because she's been one of the key... parties involved in the creation of a women's group. So following the pattern of the men's group, which has been successful here, and it's been observed by people that have come to our church that our church is upside down, in that we have had an active men's group for some time, but no kind of equivalent women's group that was very active. And just recently, we've started to turn that boat right side up again, and the long drought is over. Now, we believe, but it appears to be. So you had some unique observations for me when I asked you if you were willing to speak with me about the way that this women's group kind of came together. Mm-hmm. And can you tell us what those observations are so that other people can benefit from it?
God was the key player in starting the women's group, because we've tried to do things for a few years. We've been doing some play and pray. we've been trying to meet for the last years for women's breakfast. But early this, right before school ended, a school teacher came and asked me, do you have a summer Bible study? Because I'd love to do one. And I said, I'll ask around. And within 4 days, I had 3 children's leaders, 8 women, 20 to 22 children, all saying, yes, we'll be there. And I was like, that's amazing. What do I do? And we had a study lined up, and it was one that several of the women were hoping to go through already and even already had the book and hadn't been able to go through as they had planned a previous year. So it was very much God bringing in a group of ladies.
Amen to that. And I think it's an example of how God's Spirit really can invest into things that, you know, are just concepts. You know, you've got an idea, and God has already made preparations. People have books. People are looking for opportunities, and they just jump in.
And I would like to say it's been amazing to see him bring in a community of women, many of whom are ministry-minded. So I thought it was interesting. You asked me to speak. It's like, oh, I guess I was involved in the summer thing. But now I'm about to be out for a bit, and there are many others who are taking on pursuits for the fall. And we just see God going forward from here with willing hearts and hands. So
if you want to know more about joining the women's group, and it looks like it has a following already that's blessed by the Lord, please see Nicole, and she'll give you a handy-dandy contact card as well. Mm-hmm. And another active part of the body of Christ that's working and growing. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Nicole.
And thank you, Kim. So you've heard of some of these ministries, and we have others as well. You can check them out. As Debbie said, come and just watch. You don't have to make a commitment. And you might find out that maybe you fit into one of these or more. Let's continue now, and we'll have our team come up and lead us in a song. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus.